everybody. Welcome to the weekly wrap-up. I am Ken August. My former co-host actually got a recurring case of the I have other shit to do-itis. So Jeremy is going to help me out here a little bit. I've asked him to speak in the sexiest voice he can. How are you, sir? But that is not nearly as sexy as I think.
Hello.
Oh, and there you go. Nailed it. Nailed it. Perfect. Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have, if you're home listening tonight, please feel free to call in at 800-893-9562. Let me know if there's a story on your mind from this past week or weekish. You know, I don't own a calendar. So, you know, anywhere in the ballpark, whatever's on your mind is great. I can tell you in advance, we're going to talk a little bit at some point about, Whitney was buried today in the passing and how the industry is dealing with that, as well as what the hell is happening to our celebrities and prescription drugs. The Heart Attack Grill. Jeremy, this may be something. You look like a man who may have eaten at the Heart Attack Grill. I think it is in Arizona.
What are you trying to say, man?
Nothing. I am saying nothing there. But it is a burger you may enjoy. And apparently for one out of every handful of people, there will be a surprise that you can get with the triple bypass. And we're going to definitely talk a little Linsanity. I was hoping that would last. I was hoping Jeremy Lin, and I know you have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. For a man who wasn't sure the Super Bowl was going on, for you to know the Knicks point guard means that story would have to be a hysteria level at this point in time. Do you know who Jeremy Lin is?
No.
Love it. Love it. That is fantastic. I will tell you, or you can eventually see him when he's dating a Kardashian. You can always do that as well. But first, we're going to start our politics off with the FBI foiling a terror plot. Let's listen to this.
29-year-old Amin El-Khalifi on terror-related charges. They accuse him of wanting to blow up the U.S. Capitol building and to kill Americans. In January of last year, the FBI made contact with El-Khalifi. The criminal complaint says he agreed with statements made by an FBI informant that the war on terrorism was a war on Muslims. The complaint says undercover operatives convinced him they were connected to Al-Qaeda and taught him how to fire a gun. Then on Friday, authorities say the FBI provided El-Khalifi with a firearm and an explosive vest. Both had been rendered harmless.
That, first of all, that's a good plan on their part to render it harmless. Nice to know that they're handing out all that shit. But thank God for that. I don't generally bring God into these things, but thank God for that, that them stopping that, because I tell you now, the second we deal with a suicide bomber, as opposed to other, you know, the shoe bomber, who I guess was too comical, unfortunately, to be taken too seriously once he was caught, this guy had a vest. This was the type of shit that happens in Israel. And, you know, the moment that happens here, this country is going to freak out. And I'm not saying not rightfully so, but the moment people start blowing themselves up in public places in this country, this place is going to freak out. So, Jeremy, I hope you're ready to go to war, my man, because...
Well, what has stopped it from happening so far? What do you think it is that has kept that from happening? Because it happens there quite frequently. Why doesn't it happen here?
That is a good question. That's a very good question, because, I mean, you'd have to assume there's any sort of technique we would have to keep track of people that are trying to sneak that type of stuff in, you would assume Israel has that same type of technology. We share technology with them. Maybe not all our technology, but Israel has, you know.
Well, they've had to deal with it for much longer than we have, you know. We kind of opened our eyes with 9/11, but that shit's been going on there for quite a while.
Yeah, and for them, their biggest problem is, and if they didn't have the biggest badass military in the world, and that's no disrespect to ours, I just mean as far as size-wise, they have responded and had to, because they are surrounded, basically, by people that don't want them there. There is... for lack of a better phrase, at least not everybody believes it, but the people will call some sort of holy war when they need to. If there's fighting amongst themselves, then, you know, they can all unite over, hey, we hate Israel. And the second, like I say, I mean, hell, 2011, 11, I'm sorry, 9/11 was in 2001, 11 years ago. We're still there. So the second somebody, and that guy was of Moroccan descent, so it's not like we're going after Morocco, I wouldn't think. But then again, Iraq didn't attack us, and we went after them. So we're still over there, and you know, I'll be shocked if we're not heading over there at some point. And rumor is, and it's strange that this comes out this openly, but you know, the general theory is Israel's going to attack Iran before spring is over. I mean, they give you a season, a war season.
Where'd you get that from? I didn't hear that.
Oh, God, that's been widely reported. I come with widely reported, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But yes, no, I've heard that actually from multiple sources. It has been reported. And I mean, Israel's not saying. They're not confirming.
Because I'm saying, you know, you're Ken August, and I know you're in the know.
Oh, I know some shit. And there's some Judaism.
You think Iran would react to that kind of threat, you know, sooner than later?
Well,
if it's out there, you know, on Fox News,
Iran has already threatened to wipe them off the map. They have already threatened to stop oil from coming out of their country.
Well,
how much
do
more?
That.
Well, that's
don't do that.
How much? Well, they actually, that is another problem, is they just halted oil to French and British companies as of, I think, today or yesterday. So oil is going up, and if we have to find another reason, we will claim it's another reason. But if we have to go in for oil, you know, you can't pull that. There's no way we would accept that and not do anything about that. But I tell you, I mean, the fact is if Israel goes in, I'm assuming we don't have much choice. We don't have much choice. We're not going to sit inside. And I'll tell you what, if you watch the Republicans at all, the Republican debates, which there haven't been a debate in a little while, but they are big on the, well, we'll deal with Iran by bombing them from above. I don't know why above, where else you're doing it, but from airstrikes, I believe is what they said. We'll take care of their nuclear facilities before they are up and running through airstrikes. And I'm not saying I'm against that if you need to, but, you know, they're also sitting there, like you said, wouldn't they respond? They know that at least one party that's running, one of the two people that's running, is saying we're going to bomb Iran if we need to. So if you're them, you pretty much have to start thinking about what the hell you're going to do. And I don't know how you avoid that. Everybody seems to be pushing each other's buttons, and between Israel and Iran and Syria, that's a huge powder keg, going on over there that would worry the hell out of me. And have you seen who the new front runner is, Mr. Rick Santorum?
Right.
That guy couldn't be less, you know, it's funny because he is
He's a Pennsylvania boy, right?
He is a Pennsylvania boy, and he is also to his credit, he is honest. He brings a whole bunch of Jesus to his candidacy. I mean, he's everything but wearing sandals to the debate. This guy is Jesus-ing up. And, you know, like I say, whether I agree with him or not, and I will clearly say I do not, I will say that he is at least one of the people who is very honest. He says, hey, this is what I believe. For the most part, he has. And I mean, he tried to back away from certain inflammatory statements, but he has compared, homosexuality to, man on dog, I believe was his phrase. He is, and now what is interesting, he has jumped to the lead, jumped ahead of Romney in many national polls, or a couple of national polls, now that people, they don't seem to like Romney. And now that the economy, the numbers are at least on their way up, if not, you know, necessarily very good yet, but still on their way up, they don't have that argument as much anymore. So now what they're doing is, they're basically going to the Obama's attacking religion, and they don't like having to pay for or cover or have their insurance cover contraception. Do we have a call? I believe we have a call. Is there somebody on the air?
Yeah, it's Dan.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am good. What's on your mind, buddy?
I just heard you starting to talk about the Republicans and Rick Santorum, so I thought maybe I would join in.
well, I appreciate that very much. Do you think now? Everybody is pretty much taking their shot ahead of Mitt Romney. Do you think this guy's to stay? This guy has a chance of staying or no?
I think in the end that the Republicans are not going to go with him because I don't. I mean, I don't. I think he's kind of a sure loser in the general election. So I think they're going to finally come to their senses one way or the other.
Which is what I, which is what I've been saying for quite some time. Yet this, you know, this is a little. I mean, even more so than the Newt hysteria that they had, because you know that all seemed to revolve around Newt yelling at people. This seems to be their core saying, yes, yes, I need more Jesus in my candidate. And if they don't like Romney, that is a big reason why. His religion, whether it's stated or not, I would assume is a big reason why. And so this seems to, even though I tend to agree with you, this seems to have a chance at more staying power than I would ever have thought, you know, somebody with these social stances would that would ever have.
Well, now let me pose a scenario to you that I've heard a couple of sources today, like on news shows, the Sunday news shows, that there's people talking about that with the remaining primaries after Michigan and Arizona, which are coming up, there's enough of them that people could actually, somebody could actually get on the ballot on some of them and win enough delegates to not win the nomination, but to at least contest the nomination. They'd win enough. Like more than Ron Paul or more than Rick Santorum or more, you know what I mean, like at least around the same number, that they could have a brokered convention or a contested convention where somebody that's not even in the race right now technically could.
When was the last time that happened?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it hasn't happened in decades, but
and here's another question. If that happens, Who comes in to save the day? I mean,
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying like it's.
No, I understand, but who could it be? Who could it be? I mean, Jeb Bush would be one name, but I don't think people are ready to go back to a Bush because most Republicans still kind of badmouth Bush.
I think if it were Jeb Bush, that I think the country might not be ready for that, but I think the Republicans actually would at this point embrace a Jeb Bush. Even though his last name is Bush, because he's different than his brother, and their memories aren't as long as the rest of ours.
I don't think you can't get a Chris Christie because he's already publicly stated I'm not ready. It's hard to have and I'm not ready.
Yeah, and then say like, now I'm ready 5 months later after I said that 5 months ago. But
yes, we know he didn't spend that off time exercising. I can tell you that much right now.
That's for sure.
But there's no. I mean, it here's the thing: is if they vote Santorum. You'd have to think, because the party has moved to the right so much to deal with these Tea Party people. You have to assume there's old school Republicans that are freaking out, knowing if they vote Santorum, whether that's their gut or not, that they're giving that away. Because there's just, you're going to lose the country, too much of the country, if you're, you know, especially, and here's something I don't understand, when you preach small government, small government, small government, unless we're talking about a vagina. Then we have all sorts of things we have to say. I guess technically it doesn't have to be women, but any gay sex, Rick Santorum is against certain types of prenatal care because he doesn't want people to have a reason to have an abortion. So he's apparently trying to slam Obama for giving people reasons to get an abortion. You know, and it's hard to argue with somebody who says, well, this is what God wants. How do you argue with that?
Yeah, and then like unfortunately, there's a lot of people who will just buy into that. So you know, I don't know. Like he might have a chance because the thing is, like it's not about the percentage of people in the country or the percentage of people in the Republican Party. It's the percentage of people who come out and vote. And people like all the Republican primaries have been pretty low turnout compared to what they were before and compared to what they thought they would be, and. If just enough crazy right-wingers come out and vote because they really don't like Mormons or Mitt Romney. I was going to say Mitt Romney, but Mormons. Really
was that a slip? Did you slip on that, by the way?
Yeah, that was a Freudian slip, I guess. But, you know, so they might be able to push, you know, Rick Santorum. It's going to be hilarious to watch, though, because if they have to, like, actually nominate him and then... Who's he going to pick for a running mate? Somebody, you know, like it's just crazy.
Yeah, I can't even imagine who would be on that ticket. Because he's so far to the right, who are you going to bring in that he can accept? I mean, there's not a whole lot of gray area. You can't have, well, okay, we'll accept a little abortion and a little gay sex. It's tough. I don't know who he would bring in. Usually you try to bring somebody else on the ticket who will get you the votes you don't get. But
well, every once in a while they double down and just get like that's what Bill Clinton didn't really get anybody different than him. He got Al Gore, who was kind of considered the same as him, and just doubled down on his message. And so he'll probably pick somebody that is also a darling of the right.
That is true. Although quite often, you'd think I would think Mitt Romney, if he gets somebody, he would go for a Christie or somebody, and maybe not Christie, but somebody who can be a bulldog, somebody who can go out and just.
Oh yeah.
But you know, somebody sure. like Clinton didn't need a bulldog. Clinton went out, and by the time the press conference was over, he slept with two of the women, and he was fine. So he didn't. He just told Gore to go in the back and do some work on the environment, and he'll take care of all the public stuff. What do you think? Let me ask you this, because to me, this is. It changed the whole election process. What do you think? Do you think there will be any change to the Citizens United ruling, which allows basically money to be free speech?
I don't think there's going to be a change. I think there's going to be calls for a change by a lot of people, but the fact is that they've already, they would have to have, it would take a long time for it to change because it would have to go all the way back up to the Supreme Court again, and we get the same 9 justices we did the last time it went back up, so I don't know.
That is true. Plus, whenever you're asking people to police themselves, it tends to move slowly.
Yeah, so I think that will change as soon as we get a new Supreme Court, which could be a decade.
Well, and that all depends on who's appointing those people.
Exactly. So,
because you get the wrong people, but at least both sides seem to be unhappy with this. That's a plus. Unfortunately, once an election time is done, they generally probably will forget and move on.
Exactly. Like I thought in 2000, that would never, nothing would ever happen close to that again. And it's just every 2 or 4 years later, something else is happening where they're stealing people's votes.
Yeah.
And they talk about it at the election, but then they kind of forget. So
that is, this is the most interesting election I have seen in a long time, and this is coming off the last presidential election, which was a runoff between possibly the first woman and first black person to ever get into the office, and yet this has somehow trumped it.
Yeah, and we're only in February. We haven't even gotten close to the exciting stuff yet.
That is true. Although this is almost like a slash and burn technique for the Republicans early.
Yeah, but it's so great to watch from this side. But
hey, Dan, I appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, bye bye. All right, so when we come back, hey Jeremy, what can you get with a triple bypass burger? You want to know?
Yeah, what?
You're gonna find out right after this.
From the moment you walk into the place, you can almost feel your arteries clogging.
Our motto is simple. Taste
What's
worth
in a quadruple
dying
bypass
for. Is 4 half-pound patties, practically a whole tomato, about a half of an onion. We coat the buns in lard, melt it all together with 8 thick slices of cheese.
Instead of a salad bar, there's an all-you-can-eat flatliner fries bar.
The French fries are absolutely deep-fried in lard. Good, old-fashioned, healthy lard. They taste better and they're better for you. Diet Coke. We don't do light beers. We don't even provide lettuce on our burgers.
We don't even provide lettuce on our burgers because you couldn't soak lettuce in lard, apparently.
Yeah.
Does that sound delicious to you?
Yeah, it actually sounds pretty amazing, actually.
Have you heard about this place, the Heart Attack Grill?
So, yeah, I heard about this story, and when I heard the name of the place, my initial thought was, oh, these guys are in deep shit, they call themselves the Heart Attack Grill, some guy croaked, forget it, they're done. But then when you sent me the video clips today and I went through to prepare the clips, I realized that this place, from the second you walk in the door, is letting you know explicitly what you're about to do is probably a really bad idea, and to the point where we're putting people in wheelchairs to, you know, kind of push our little gimmick
even further. They dress the people up and they give you hospital gowns.
Right.
And when you order, they put a little bracelet on you as if you're in the hospital, as if you're a patient. They call you patients. The women there are crazy sexy. It's like a Hooters for people that are about to die of cholesterol problems.
Outfits and...
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Which is, you know, not a bad way to go if you're going to go. Now, here's something that they forget to tell you in this, is that they used to have a commercial, a couple of different commercials where they had a spokesman. It was a regular guy, a regular customer that they had. As one might imagine, not a small fella. Not a small fella at all. Assuming it was one person and not three or four people duct taped together inside one shirt. But what they don't mention is this guy died as well. He was probably 29, maybe in his 30s. Not a vision of health, nor am I a vision of health, by the way. However, it's a tough call. So what ended up happening was somebody went in, had the triple bypass burger. Delicious. Hey, what's going on here? What did I get with my burger? Oh, a heart attack. The man had a heart attack while eating a triple bypass burger. And unfortunately, like you said, because of the name of the place and because of all the warnings and things along those lines, instead of people, I mean, the restaurant knew it wasn't a gag, so they took it seriously. But while the ambulance was there pulling them out, people were taking photos, laughing at them. They're posing with pictures behind them, thumbs up behind the guy getting wheeled out, having a heart attack. And, you know, hard to blame them. You assume he's fake. You assume the whole thing's fake.
Right.
But should there be, like you say, it's hard. Should there be regulations? It is literally, it's one thing to be unhealthy, but when you're taking every part of the burger and soaking it in lard, which, by the way, if you notice, his words were good old fashioned healthy lard.
That's what he said. Yeah.
That is what he said. I don't know if healthy plays a role in that, but as delicious as that sounds, I don't know if you can. I mean, how can you can't? Can you stop people from doing that?
I don't think you should be able to stop people from doing that. I think with this place, you know, having seen the video and actually seeing what this place is all about, if you walk in there and you have it, okay, you walk in there, you're a big guy, you eat like crap all the time, you go into the
heart. Is this a hypothetical or are you just actually talking directly about me?
Right. Well, no. Come on, Gus.
Okay,
on.
I'm with you. Go ahead.
You walk in there and you eat a burger that's made with, you know, what? The triple bypass has 6 patties, 8 slices of cheese, cooked in lard. The buns are soaked in lard. You go in there as an unhealthy individual and you decide to take that challenge. I don't know, man. You get what you deserve. I mean,
no, I agree with that. But then what's your, I mean, because I agree with that in the aspect of as long as, I mean, it's right in your face. How can you tell an adult you shouldn't eat that? If they weren't upfront with it, different story. You know, if it's, oh, by the way, forgot to tell you, there's a 40% chance that burger kills you. Yeah, okay, tough. But the heart attack grill, that's your gimmick, which is a weird gimmick. But along those lines then, how is that any different than them making adults wear it? Now, kids, I understand. Restrictions, I understand. Hey, you know what? Perhaps we should stop, you know, people from putting lead in kids' toys. Things along those lines. But what about, hey, you have to wear your seatbelt? Or, hey, you have to wear a helmet while riding a motorcycle. How is that any different?
I think the difference there is that if you don't wear your seatbelt, you could be endangering... It's a different situation because... The situation there is that two people are involved. You know, if you're not wearing your
but that's your safety. It's not like you're driving drunk. It'll kill you, or not wearing a helmet on a motorcycle might kill you, but it's not going to prevent the accident that you're getting into.
If you don't want to wear a seatbelt and you drive straight into a wall and you don't hurt anyone else in that process, I say that's your problem. But you know, with cars and motorcycles, usually there's an innocent person that is wearing their seatbelt.
Yes, but how would a seatbelt or a helmet stop somebody else, stop that accident? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I'm saying I understand the risk involved, I am an adult, and that's questionable right there, but I am an adult, I understand the risks involved, I choose to ride my motorcycle without my helmet because I look so much cooler with my hair flowing in the breeze that I'm not going to do it, and I know the risks, yet...
I actually think that you're right on that, or the point that you're trying to make. Yeah, seatbelt laws, you know, that kind of stuff. That you're making that decision to be unsafe, and you know if you get into an accident, your chances of dying are much higher. But I don't know, personal responsibility. I don't think that there should be laws based around that. And this can extend into a million different topics. But yeah, I believe people should be responsible for their own body. And you know, I don't think if this guy is basically committing suicide by going into this restaurant, that's his choice.
That is true. But now there seems to be a big political issue between Republicans and Democrats, where Republicans talk constantly about how businesses are being hurt by regulations. Too many regulations. But now what drives me nuts, and by no means do I think that government runs things efficiently. I don't think that's the case. But things not running well does not mean there's a difference between fixing it or eliminating it. Two different things. So I understand that there are regulations, and there may be some weak regulations as well. Certainly God knows how many there are. But usually what they don't do is they don't specify what regulations. Like regulations don't... People don't start a business off. The government doesn't say, hey, all right, you can only sell things up to this amount. Regulations basically pop into play usually because somebody's getting taken advantage of.
Right.
And that person is not usually the rich person. So when there's an argument of regulations are killing business, is the argument, hey, you should let us pollute more. Hey, I don't need the FDA.
See, again, those to me, those are things that can affect, you know, many a group of people that may not be aware of the effects of, you know, no regulation on pollution or food quality or those types of things. That can hurt a lot of different people. If I want to raise a cow, kill that cow, take that meat and, you know, run it through the sewer a few times and then consume that meat, I should be allowed to do that.
Now, that is a triple bypass burger, my man.
That is definitely. That's been bypassed multiple times.
That sounds delicious and remind me to never eat at your house.
Right.
But now, I agree with that. I mean, I agree with that, although you know you're sounding dangerously like a liberal at that point in time when you're saying things along those lines. Now, you know, and it's funny because when you look back at certain regulations, you say cigarettes. People get annoyed that they can't smoke cigarettes indoors. And you say, that's one I don't even think there should be an argument about. Other people have to suffer your cigarettes.
Exactly.
But what cracks me up, and I understand that there was a certain time where people didn't realize how dangerous it was, maybe, although that time was, you know, not that long. People knew it was dangerous and just denied it for quite some time. But it wasn't that long ago where there was a smoking section on a plane, which seems like at any point in time, whether you think it's bad for you or not, seems so ridiculous as a regulation that ever got in, that somebody went, oh, okay, you know what? If you're in this tube with the people smoking, but you're three rows in front, sorry, you're in the non-smoking section.
And, you know, I haven't traveled long enough or been around long enough to know, but were there optional smoke-free flights even at the time that smoking was available on airplanes?
That is a good question. If it was, I do not think it was a common thing. If there was, I think because my sister had asthma, and I don't ever recall hearing anything specifically about let's make sure we're on one of those flights. It was always, well, we'll get a non-smoking section. You're like, well, okay. Hey, sir, can you blow your smoke the other way, please? That is blowing inside the tube is outrageous.
Because I think even with the you know smoking section restaurants or whatever, I think the individual should decide, and they should be informed up front. People will be smoking in this restaurant. If that annoys you, if you don't want that during your meal, don't come to this restaurant. And I think that's the same thing with the Heart Attack Grill, to, you know, kind of go back to that. These guys are making it real obvious. I didn't know that when I first heard the story. I thought this was, you know, one of those gimmicks at TGI Fridays, the death by chocolate, you know? Like, I just thought, you know, they just had a burger on the menu that they called that, and it was a big burger. But this whole place is about
Yeah.
This is going to mess you up.
Yeah.
And you could probably die.
Yeah.
We got gurneys available for that in the lobby.
I would like a corner. Hey, I have a reservation for two. I'd like a corner gurney, please.
Right.
Yes. That's nice. That is fantastic. No, I agree with you. It's, you know, you have to step in. I think there should be regulations when it's affecting other people. When it's not affecting other people, I think you're on your own. Hey, you know what? This doesn't seem like your thing, but did you happen to turn on the TV at any point yesterday? And if you did, I'm certain you caught at least a glimpse of the funeral/mega concert that was on yesterday.
So the only thing I caught, and it wasn't on TV, but, you know, I listen to talk radio at night here in L.A., and they're all over it, of course. So I heard a bit of the Costner stuff.
One of his best performances. He was great. He was great.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, let's take a listen to that right now.
You weren't just pretty. You were as beautiful as a woman could be. And people didn't just like you, Whitney. Escorted by an army of angels. To your heavenly father. And when you sing before him, don't you worry. You'll be good enough.
If those moments of silence were Kevin Costner seemingly fighting back tears, you seem a little skeptical as you look at me like that, but no, if he was not really fighting back tears, then that was his best performance, but it was moving. There is something always odd to me, and I don't deal well with, not that a whole lot of people say, hey, let's go hang out at funerals, but I don't deal well with seeing a dead body in the first place. The whole idea of burying seems weird to me, and burning is not much better. Let me rephrase that, is not any better. But there's something strange about Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, these people dancing around singing while there's a dead body around. There's just something. But, it would, you know, and when I was talking about that, somebody said to me, they said, you know, here's the thing is, it's rare that you can, but people on occasion do try to celebrate the life as opposed to mourn the death. Make it a slightly happier occasion. Easier said than done, but if they can do that, and if they can broadcast it to millions of people that loved her anyway, what's the argument? And I didn't really have one.
But you know, and maybe we share this, but you know, you can't help but to think that there's some exec somewhere that's like, man, this is great. You know?
Well, yeah, sadly there's you know, there's always somebody that's looking to make money. And I mean, even, you know, hell, even 9/11 had their share of scam artists all over the place. But I mean, so yes, there's no way to overlook the fact. I mean, I believe the day she died, I believe iTunes raised the price of her songs. Is that correct?
Right. So I don't think it was iTunes. I think it was her record label. I forget which label that was. The label raised the price, but then they kind of tried to play it off, and they said they were...
Coincidence?
Well, they said they were looking at their records, and their wholesale price was lower than it should have been in the first place. So they fixed the glitch. But then it was iTunes, supposedly iTunes and Apple, that then went and lowered the price again.
That is, so they lowered it back too.
Yeah, they put it back.
Yeah, yeah. It's very hard to raise the price right after a woman dies and then claim,
hours.
It just happened. We happened to come across the fact that we were undercharging everybody.
Right.
Yeah, that's not even a good lie. That's hand in the cookie jar kind of lie. But, you know, that level of scumminess brings into question, you know, what this industry does to celebrities, whether it's, and I don't say that as in that they definitely deserve sympathy, because you kind of know what you're getting into. God knows there's celebrities that are not taking drugs or not hurting themselves or not hurting anyone else. But in today's day and age, we have, it's not the street drugs lately that are taking people. Heath Ledger, Michael Jackson, Amy Winehouse, Brittany Murphy, off the top of my head. These are people that, and now, the prescription drugs, they're not necessarily over the counter. Michael Jackson had to have a live-in doctor give it to him. But first of all, that seems to be, none of these are street drugs for the most part. Amy Winehouse might have been weakened from other stuff. People might have been weakened. Whitney might have been weakened from other stuff she'd taken. But in the end, it ends up being these, you know, these over-the-counter drugs that are easier to get. And sadly, people don't seem to feel bad for the celebrity until they're dead.
Right.
You hate to say that, but Heath Ledger, it was less known. There was nothing really known. Nobody saw that coming. Amy Winehouse, that didn't shock anybody.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, you know, it was easier to make the no, you know, reference whenever you were talking about her because she wasn't, you know, seemingly cleaning herself up. It would be easier for if she had a clip of her falling off stage, that was going to get more hits on YouTube than anything else that she did well. Brittany Murphy, also, nobody really saw that coming. But, you know, Whitney obviously had her problems that people, you know, jokes were fine. Not fine, but jokes were made and they were common until she dies. And then it's, oh, we should have helped her. Why didn't people help her? When they're alive, people don't have the sympathy. They say they should help themselves. What is wrong with that person? Look what they're doing. They're wasting their life, wasting their life. But as soon as they die, oh, that person was beyond help. Somebody should have helped them.
You know, it is a touchy thing, though. And you know, knowing people in my own life that have had addiction problems, it's not as easy as saying I want to help that person because if they're not ready to...
It's an adult and you can't force help on them.
Right. They have to make that decision or they have to hit rock bottom. And unfortunately for some, rock bottom means I'm no longer alive.
Yeah, yeah. And what helps enable that is there are always, when we talk about celebrities of a certain level, there's always people, forget the MC Hammers when they have 600 people as an entourage. There's always people that are making money. Hey, it looks like we have a call. Hello?
Hello. Hey, it's Pam in San Diego. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Pam?
Hey, what's up, Jerry? Hey, I wanted to let you guys know, Brittany Murphy, I don't think she had a drug problem. She died because her house had toxic mold in it.
Now, I had heard the family talking about that afterwards, but I thought that was the family coming up with, hey, this is what happened. That was relatively recent, was it not, that they said that?
I think I remember seeing it maybe about a month ago.
And is that actually confirmed, or is that the family saying, hey, our child didn't do this?
That was like the city department or whatever. They were going to go after the landlord.
Yeah, that would be a good person to go after. But then didn't her husband die shortly after that?
Yes, he died of the same thing like 3 months later.
That's...
So they reopened the investigation, and I don't know all the details, but yeah, anyway, it wasn't drugs.
That is, Brittany Murphy, we apologize to her family. Jeremy, I'll blame that on you, even though it was 100% me. And I will also blame most of that on her landlord. Yes, I remember hearing that, and I did not know. I totally thought that was, like I said, the family saying, no, it was not anything we did. It was not anything she did. But that's horrible.
Yeah, nobody believed the family, but yeah, it sounds like it was true.
That's tragic. No, that's fantastic. I need more information at all times.
Pam is now the official fact checker of the weekly wrap-up.
Oh, so. God, that should give you stuff to do every week because I'm rarely correct, by the way.
Oh, dear.
stay near your phone because I will need help at all times.
Sounds good. I'll keep listening.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pam.
Yeah, guys. Bye.
Let me ask you real quick before I go over to Linsanity, because you know I want to talk a little Linsanity here pretty soon. But your thoughts on the two guys from KFI in LA?
Right.
The two radio guys who got suspended for 10 days, I believe.
I didn't know it was only 10 days, but yeah. So I'm an avid KFI listener, actually. I listen.
Did you hear that live when it happened?
I did not hear them live. It's a strange thing to me because the day it happened, I mean, of course, that's all people are talking about. every show host on...
For those that don't know, there are two radio personalities in Los Angeles were suspended for 10 days for referring to Whitney Houston as a crack hoe on a couple of occasions while talking about the incident and basically talking about how they were not shocked. Please continue.
Yeah, it was John and Ken from KFI. Here's the thing. I didn't hear their broadcast, but if all they were suspended for was, you know, Whitney is a crack hoe, it just seems strange to me, I gotta say, because I listen to a lot of the shows on there. Tim Conway Jr. show, which I love, he is my talk radio god. Those guys had their fair share of digs on Whitney all night. And
going back to what we said earlier, it's been happening for years. It just, people are sensitive about it now because she's dead.
Sure. I don't know. I don't agree with a suspension like that. I think there's a lot of freedom of speech issues that come involved there. But, you know, it's a clear channel communication station. So if what you're saying is going to offend a certain corporation, then, you know, that's what's going
to
happen.
Well, that's kind of what it seems to me is they didn't. I think the fact that ho was used, crack ho, sounds, one, like it may have some sort of racial overtones. But I think that was probably a can of worms they didn't want to open. Because it's also a phrase. If you're throwing out crack, the word crack, and we know that she had taken crack, you know, I would call Courtney Love a crack hoe.
Yeah.
I'd call her probably a lot of other things as well. But I mean, so I don't see it as a racial thing, but I don't think that's, I think it was easier. Like you said, what they did was they called it offensive. They said it was offensive or insensitive commentary or comments, and they suspended him for 10 days, which I think is a punishment that they can deal with. And like you said, a way to ease people that might have been upset, that turns out easier for them to just suspend than to try to make a larger case out of it.
Yeah, so it looks like they're going to be back February 27th. So I initially thought that they were suspended indefinitely, but you know, I enjoy John and Ken and those guys. You know, that's their radio show. That's what they do, and that's their character. So if you listen to that show and you're a fan of that show, I'm sure it was nothing you didn't expect from John and Ken. But you know, Clear Channel obviously had an issue with it.
Right, that is true. All right, when we come back, I want to talk a little, as a New York fan, I want to talk a little Linsanity.
The top nicknames of Jeremy Lin. Lincredible, Linspirational, Linderella Man. To infinity and beyond. A Super Lintendo. Linja Assassin.
Whoa.
That'll get rid of pretty much all the Lin nicknames, so I don't have to spend my time whipping through all of them. Now, Jeremy, like I said, I know the New York Knicks are probably, to be low on your list of shit to care about, this doesn't even make the bottom of the list.
I know absolutely nothing about this person, so...
You haven't even heard his name?
I don't know his name right now. What just happened? I don't know.
Well, good morning, sir.
All right.
Jeremy Lin, here's the story. The New York Knicks, who have not been a champion, have not won a championship since I was, I believe, 1 year old. And it is a mecca for basketball. It has, you know, Madison Square Garden has a rabid fan base, and yet they can't get a championship. And now their best chance came in a time frame when Michael Jordan was playing, so nobody else is winning championships but Michael Jordan. I'm assuming you've heard that name before.
Yeah.
So
he owns a dealership in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, yes, he does. Probably many of them. So here's the story with the Knicks. The Knicks have two All-Stars. The Knicks were 8-15, not looking good, not in a playoff spot, although early in the season. And the coach was on a hot seat, looking like he can get fired any day. And they basically went to their third string point guard. Guy sitting on the end of the bench. They're losing. Somebody got hurt. So they turned to this guy, Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is of Taiwanese descent. First Taiwanese-American starter in the NBA. He graduated Harvard, which right away puts you in a rare, rare class in the NBA. So he was just cut from two teams that are also not doing very well. And they went, seems like a nice kid, seems very smart, but I don't, you know, we don't have a spot for him. He got cut from Golden State. He got cut from, I think, maybe Houston. And he goes to the Knicks and sits on their bench and doesn't play for the first, you know, week or two. He is 2 days away from getting cut again. They're going to cut him and just pick up some other guy who's basically a journeyman who, you know, they figured, you know what, we may need some help. And in a last-ditch effort, the coach says, all right, you, Jeremy, get in there. And he goes off for 25 points. They win the game. He says, he played great. You know what? I'm going to start him next game.
He scored 25 points?
He scored 25 points in a game that he didn't start, and he was playing against not a good team, but the guy against him that he was playing is an all-star.
So break this down for me. How much time was left in the game when he started to accumulate points?
He didn't come in too late. He was in the first half.
Okay.
But that being said, you know, guys go their whole career sometimes and don't score 25 points, depending on who you are in a game. And so when you have gone your 2 years in the league and you have never started a game and you were considering what else you might have to do outside of basketball for a living, and then you score 25 in the Garden. Now, keep in mind, this is home, so it's at Madison Square Garden. He's, you know, a no-name guy off the bench, so the fans love him. They love him. This guy is going nuts. And when he did this, put this in perspective, not only did he come off the bench, his two all-stars that scored most of the Knicks' points were not there. One guy got hurt in the opening minute of the game, and the other guy had a death in a family and left the team for a week. So they basically went to this point guard and said, hey, you, before we cut you, why don't you try to do something? And he went out, scored 25 points, led him to a victory. So they went, oh, nice. All right, let's start him. He played well. They start him the next game. He leads him to 7 straight victories. In his first 4 starts, he had scored more points than any player since 1973 or 74 in their first 4 starts. More than Michael Jordan, more than Kareem.
So this wasn't just a lucky game. He started to do this consistently.
Yes. And ironically or strangely, he plays a position where with his coach, he handles the ball. He's the point guard. And the point guard is the guy dribbling the ball up. He's handling the ball most of the time. 80% of the time, they said he has the ball in his hand. And so you have all-stars on his team coming back, but you have this guy who just came off the end of the bench who's, you know, not only scoring because he needed to score, but as the all-stars started coming back, one of the two has now come back. He's feeding everybody else, and they're all scoring. And they've now won 8 of 9. They're 16 and 16. From 7 and 15, they're now 16 and 16 and in a playoff spot if the season were to end today. And there is a hysteria over this kid because of his story, because of what an underdog he is. Because in that first game when he scored 25 points, he didn't have a place to live and he thought he was going to be cut, so he was sleeping on a teammate's couch the night before. So now you have articles in New York of, hey, here's Jeremy Lin's apartment. Hey, here's Jeremy Lin. You know, he's going to move in here, you know, and he'll do an interview and say, I've never seen that place. I don't know what that place is. But New York loves it. They love him. They're selling Jeremy Lin jerseys. They sold thousands of Jeremy Lin jerseys, and he didn't even know they made them yet. That's how quickly those things were produced and sold.
So he's in the NBA, but how can you not have a... I thought if you make it to the NBA, like, you at least have an apartment.
If you make it to the NBA and you're staying, you have an apartment. This is a guy who was already cut twice and was 2 days away from being cut again.
Wow.
In which case, he's leaving the city and going to, hopefully, to another team. But in his case, maybe to another career. He's 2 days away from maybe never playing NBA basketball.
So what happened?
Well, that's a good question. The theory is, oh, it looks like we have a caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Great show, Gus, Jerry.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you very much. What's on your mind, bud?
I was hysterical about Lynn. I figured I should call you guys up. No, really, I just want to say, first off, thanks for getting rid of all those nicknames right off the bat.
Yeah, I got to get rid of that so I don't have to do that anymore.
They're horrific.
he is, I believe, his first interview, he said, his first sentence was, I can't believe there's so many things you can make with the name Lynn. That was, it's certainly not good, but he seems to be taking this hysteria in stride. Have you seen him play at all?
Seen him play many times on SportsCenter. I haven't seen any full games, but looks like he knows what he's doing, making a few mistakes like all rookies would.
Now, do you
think... probably got a great future.
Do you think...
You wonder how many other great players are sitting on benches around the league.
That's very true.
That's
very true, because that's... And, Jeremy, that goes back to what your question just was, which is, what happened? What might have happened is he might have just gotten the chance that he's been waiting for.
If you're cut from two other teams, doesn't that mean that you had the chance?
Well, they only have a certain amount of spots. So, for instance, one of those teams I know... had all the other players in that position had their contracts guaranteed. This guy did not. So they went, all right, well, we're already paying these guys. Let's cut this dude. He's from Harvard. He'll be fine.
So you're saying he can be cut from two teams and it's simply he...
Financial.
He didn't have a chance to even play yet.
Never. Okay. I mean, they saw him play in practice. They saw him play maybe in scrimmages, but very little. He played more now in this last week with the Knicks than he did all last year combined.
Wow.
Let me ask you, do you think the Knicks are suddenly actually a competitor for in the playoffs? Are they a contender, or is this just make them an interesting story?
I guess we'll see when Carmelo comes back, if he can share the ball. No reason to think they couldn't go deep in the playoffs.
I think it's always a question of defense with them, but yeah, that's, Carmelo, that's gotta be weird for him to leave with an injury as, you know, not a hero because you were 7-15, but as a loved figure because you're the only guy scoring, and without coming back, everybody calls you selfish. That's
Does anybody play defense in the NBA?
Tyson Chandler and Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace played. That's all he played, is it not? Do you remember Ben Wallace from the Detroit? I'm not sure. I think he's retiring at the end of this year, but do you remember Ben Wallace from the old Pistons?
One of the best afros of all time.
That is very true. That is very true. That is one of the few people who had a home and away hairdo. That was a great look. But that was one of the... That's a player I was not a Detroit fan necessarily. I was always been a Knicks fan. But that was one of the teams when Detroit was winning in the 90s. Was it the 90s or early 2000s? Early 2000s, I guess. When they were winning... as a team, you know, there was no one all-star, and Ben Wallace was a defensive presence that you don't generally see, like you said, anywhere in the NBA anymore.
Well, the Pistons are still winning, aren't they?
Not this year. I don't think they might not have won yet this year. but are you a Pistons fan? Are you a Pistons fan?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
You know, I can only, no matter how you're doing this year, you've seen yourself win championships. I have not seen that yet with my Knicks, or at least not that I can recall. So, you know.
Yeah, but you've got Super Bowls.
That is true.
The Lions haven't sniffed the Super Bowl yet.
No, but they're on the rise. They are definitely, that is a fun team to watch. Your Lions are a team that should be around. As long as you guys don't rehire Matt Millen, the Lions are a team that should be around for the next... You know, for the next decade, you'd hope, at least.
There's never any reason to be mentioning Matt Millen's name.
Well, unless it's fine.
did you spit after you said those words? Because I did.
It did leave a bad taste in my mouth. I can tell you that much. That's that guy. It's amazing how quickly that franchise has turned around after he was gone.
Amen. And they still drafted a couple of receivers, but...
Yeah, but you can't let the fear of one bad GM, you know, to probably steer you away from what you were going to do, unless that GM was Isaiah Thomas. Let me ask you though before I let you go, Peyton Manning, what do you think happens with him? Do you think he ends up going anywhere? Do you think he stays? And do you think he plays again?
I heard he had another operation that nobody had heard about. A fourth operation, is that right? Or a fifth procedure?
I think it was a fourth operation, they said. Although, I had heard rumor that the Colts knew about it, but are just kind of bringing it up now because they don't... They want as much backing them up as possible if they don't re-sign him so the fans don't get pissed.
I would think if he would sign a clause that said... If I get knocked down hard playing for your team and become paralyzed, you are not liable. I think he'd have a lot of offers.
Yeah, well, if he could, I don't know if that clause is necessary, but I would put it in. I would put it in if it's necessary. That's dangerous.
The only thing holding back a team from at least giving him a shot?
I think almost every team would give him a shot if he is healthy enough to play. I think.
I guess you'd also want to add in there that you don't get paid either.
Yes, well, that I would definitely agree with. I mean, and I think he sounds like he's willing to do that. At least they sounds like his camp has leaked that he'd be willing to sign very incentive related. Contracts, but the problem is if you're bringing him in without knowing if he's starting, you're pretty much letting your quarterback know we're looking to replace you. But I would still think almost any team other than maybe Green Bay, New England, Drew Brees is probably safe, and probably your guy. I can't see anybody taking a risk on another quarterback if you have Stafford, because seems like he's got a great future. So, I mean, there's only a handful of teams that I think wouldn't really give Peyton a shot at this point in time. I think the Jets will throw everything at him because I think the Jets will throw anything at anybody they can to try to win that city from the Giants.
Not a bad move, really.
Really?
Manning versus Manning for New York.
And wow. I believe, isn't the Super Bowl going to New York in the next couple of years?
I'm not sure.
I believe that new stadium that they opened up either next year or the year after, I believe, gets the Super Bowl, which will be interesting. But that city would go crazy. But that would be strange for Peyton to suddenly show up in a city where his brother already has two Super Bowl MVPs. That would be bizarre. But I tell you what, as a New Yorker, I would love to see it. Absolutely love to see it.
All about you.
That's what I'm hoping. That is what I'm hoping. Thank you very much for the call, my man. I appreciate it. And I wish your Pistons some good luck coming up.
Thanks much. Love the show.
Thank you, man. Have a good night.
All right.
Wow, Jeremy, did that just not save you a whole bunch of sports talk you didn't have to worry about?
Yeah, man. That guy saved my life.
Did you just wake up right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning. How about this? This is kind of sports related. Have you heard of Mr. Kobe Bryant?
Yes.
Okay, so... Did you know that Kobe, a while back, you must have, because I played a clip on it a few weeks back about...
He makes beef for the heartache grill, right? The heart attack grill? Kobe.
That is wrong Kobe. That is the wrong Kobe. One of those is delicious. I will leave it at that. But I will say this.
I'll stop trying to be funny.
Okay, I will certainly try. Kobe is... his wife had filed for divorce almost, within a week or within a month or a week, I believe, of when she officially would get half. But rumor has it now that on, I believe it was Valentine's Day, the Lakers had a game and Kobe was seen sucking face with his wife, future ex-wife.
Really?
Yes. Ironically, he missed 10 of his first 11 shots that game.
Wow.
So Kobe doesn't generally miss 10 of his first 11 shots in any game. And you wonder if his game starts to slide while he's reconciling, whether one of his teammates tries to ruin the marriage.
That makes perfect sense, actually.
It makes sense to me. It certainly makes sense to me. But that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. We'll see. But yes.
She's unbelievably hot, by the way. Like, she is a beautiful woman, his wife.
And that would surprise you why. Celebrity in L.A. making millions.
Yeah, you're right.
The star of the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, I guess Lamar Odom married a Kardashian. That doesn't help anybody. But, and not even the Kardashian I know. One of the other ones that looked like they got hit.
The mud flaps?
I don't even know what that means, but yes. Yes, that one. Here's a story. You know what? Let's kind of cruise through some of the smaller headlines. This one, I'm assuming, you, of all people, if you're not involved in it, you at least heard about it. So President Obama was in L.A.
Right, just
recently. And we hear, you know, we hear some planes overhead for a little bit. We're out in L.A. and someone said, oh, I wonder if you hear like hovering and a helicopter and some planes. And, you know, my buddy goes, oh, I wonder if that's Obama leaving town. I said, it could be, or it could be LAX, which is constantly busy. It could be any of those things. Turns out when I go home, I find out that Obama's plane, there's an 8-mile radius that they put around the plane, a no-fly zone. So as Obama's, I believe it was his helicopter, I believe it was Marine One, starts taking off to leave, a private Cessna plane enters the no-fly zone.
Okay.
So panic time. And the Air Force sends up 2 F-16 fighters to intercept the Cessna. And I can only assume that pilot was shitting his pants.
Yeah.
Because they force him to land. Yeah, it was Marine One he was on. They force him to land over at Long Beach Airport, where they find 40 pounds of marijuana inside the plane.
So, okay. I had heard about this, but I didn't know that there was the marijuana connection.
Oh, that's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's
if you're
going to
carry 40 pounds of marijuana, you should make sure that you don't fly into the president's airspace.
That is like,
that's number one on the list.
It certainly at least makes the list.
Large amounts of marijuana, do not fly into the president of the United States' airspace.
The pilot, to his defense, said he didn't realize he was flying. He thought he was just really, really high. So we got that going for us, which
there
is nice.
You go.
Thank you. Can I try to be funny again? Thank you, please. Where's the drum roll? Charlie Sheen. We haven't had a lot of Charlie Sheen meltdown lately. But apparently he's unleashing a little. Do you hear him start bitching about 2.5 Men again after a brief hiatus?
Well, I heard that they used shots from 2.5 Men in promos for his new show. And that he got in trouble for that.
They sent him a cease and desist order, in which case he just had to stop using it, which is fine. Although strange that if you'd think any production, he's coming out with a new show called Anger Management, which is based on the movie, loosely based on the movie. He's playing the character that Jack Nicholson played. But what's interesting to me, first of all, is that any show that you would think would already have their own publicity shots, that they wouldn't need to take shots from a different, from an old show and use that. But so be it. However, I guess that was enough to get him off his, okay, I'm going to play nice. And he was just quoted as saying he called into TMZ, which if you're a celebrity and you're calling into TMZ, rarely is it to say good shit. But he said, I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of pretending the show doesn't suck. I'm tired of pretending Ashton doesn't suck. I'm tired of pretending that they're not completely adrift, because when they take away the anchor of your show, which they stupidly did, you go adrift. And these guys are approaching salvage vessel.
See, that's interesting, because I remember specifically when he, you know, was very, I wish Ashton, you know, good luck on this. Ashton's going to be great. So now he pulled a 180 and he's like, fuck Ashton now.
Yes, his quote in September was, Ashton Kutcher's debut was, quote, the best intro for a new character on a TV show of all time. Way to undersell that. However, now he did know to back up a little bit for Kutcher. He did say, Sheen did say, I feel bad for him. He's saddled with such bad writing. There's just nothing about it that's fresh or interesting. I forget that it's on the air, says the man who apparently watches the show enough to bitch about it.
Right.
But, you know what? I mean, does it really surprise anybody? Especially if after everything he's done, if you're going to start coming out with a show called Anger Management, you might as well start bitching at TMZ.
Right.
You're not going to get much more free press, and you can't top yourself unless you start doing the drugs directly on your website, which is not good for him. You know, I want to tell this one last story, and this is shocking to me. And I am not a religious man by any stretch of the imagination, but this is bizarre to me. The Mormons. How about this for a headline? Let me just give you this headline. Mormons still baptizing dead Jews despite agreements to end practice.
Yeah.
That's about all you need to say. They apologized for baptizing the parents of famed Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal, but apparently continued to do it. Mitt Romney talks about the practice, but says he hasn't done it in a long time.
So you got to explain to me, what is this? I mean, there's some history here that I don't know about.
There's some history here that most people don't know about. I don't think, for the most part, the Mormons talk about it all that much, because I think it would creep people out.
They baptize people who are dead to, you know...
Jews and Mormons are once again battling over Mormons' posthumous baptisms of Holocaust victims. The Church of Latter-day Saints apologized Tuesday for posthumously baptizing Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal's parents amidst... much Jewish vitriol. That's right. I said a much Jewish vitriol. Yeah, so they basically, there's a by proxy ceremony where the living dip themselves to represent the dead. And people, I guess, in some website that they have or some group that they have, you can send in names of people that you feel should be baptized.
So they take a living person that is somehow a proxy to someone who's dead already?
Yes, and I believe that living person is a Mormon.
Wow.
So I believe it's what it sounds like to me is somebody basically doing some service and then saying, this is for this person. Whatever I'm doing here, and he dips himself to represent whatever dead person they're doing it for, and they baptize him by proxy. Now, to be honest with you, me personally, there's nothing that's changing. There's nothing that's changing. That person is dead. You doing a ceremony nowhere near that person changes nothing. However,
you could just stop at doing a ceremony does nothing.
Yes, that is very true. However, not your place to pass your religious beliefs on my dead people. So back the fuck off. Lastly, I will say this. Governor Christie, New Jersey, just passed and sent to the governor to sign a gay marriage bill.
Right.
And Governor Christie, as he said he would, vetoed it. And his reason for vetoing it was he feels it should come up in a referendum for a vote, a popular vote, which is interesting because asking for a majority vote on the rights of a minority seems strange to me. It seems like... something, a statement he's been backing away from when he tried to talk about the civil rights movement and then backed away from that. And that, it seems like if you give the majority the right to vote on the rights of a minority, seems like that that will certainly slow the process up a whole lot.
You know, I hope at the very least, you know, when this stuff just goes away and, you know, we actually treat people equally, at least at this level, we look at it as if we look at, you know, a time when women weren't allowed to vote, and it's just going to be an embarrassment. And
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, and that's the thing, is you can look through every right that people didn't have, whether, you know, whether you're talking about African Americans' rights and their rights as people, as the right to vote, women's right to vote. People fought it. People fought it. And for some reason, there's this acceptance to say, well, people aren't ready to accept it yet. But yeah, but maybe we shouldn't play down to the lowest common denominator. And that, it blows my mind to say, I mean, there was people, they would ask when Obama was running for office, people would openly say, oh, yes, I feel that I'm probably ready for a black president. And you're like, you're ready for a black? What the hell is the difference?
Yeah.
And, you know, for some reason, that seems to be acceptable. Well, people aren't ready. Well, you know what? People get ready because who the hell are you to say, are heterosexual people marrying at a better rate? What are they, about 50%?
Right.
So I don't understand. My parents have been married for years, for a lot of years. And yet I don't understand if my two male neighbors get married, how my parents' marriage suffers. How the sanctity of their marriage suffers makes no sense to me. You know, their marriage suffered when I was born. That's right. When their marriage suffered, but it really has nothing to do with anything else. All right, let's wrap it up with my what the hell is wrong with people. And I'm going to give this one to Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend. Justin Theroux was in a movie Wanderlust with her. And the story is, or at least the rumor is, that for his sake, she had the movie edit out a topless scene. Yanked it right out. Yeah, I used the word yank. Yanked the scene, the topless scene, right out. And, dude, you know what? You're living with the woman. Do you really have to steal that shit from all of us? Seems unnecessary. At least let us see it.
Well, so I'm curious how you feel about this, because you are involved in the industry and you are an actor. You know a lot of actors. This is work, right? I mean, this is what was called for her in the movie, for her boyfriend to come in and
I don't believe he did it. I don't believe he did it. I believe it was denied, but the rumor is her camp did it. And it was partially because she is living with her co-star and they just started living together. But I don't believe it was something that, if she would have signed it, for instance, Swordfish, the movie Swordfish, the story is Halle Berry got $1 or $2 million to be topless in that movie.
Right.
That's $1 or $2 million. That's $500,000 to $1 million per boob. That's fantastic, assuming she had two of them. So you go, okay, great. She's not getting out of that. You can't, she's not going to then demand, hey, you know what? You should edit that out. But if they're shooting a movie and they have four different angles and she's not contractually obligated, she's probably a big enough star to be able to demand some sort of edit. I'm sure if she didn't have the power, if she wasn't in her contract and they needed that shot, I'm sure there's that shot still in there. But if they don't need it, and I'm sure when you're a certain celebrity, you have a certain amount of say over final stuff anyway. At least on how your take is.
Why do the scene to begin with if you're just going to...
Well, there's a lot of nude scenes where you don't see, where the hair is covering, or did you see Horrible Bosses where she's almost naked but she has a lab coat? So, I mean, they shot it from behind as well. So I believe when the shot where she would be revealed, you see her from behind, you see her naked, but you don't see the parts that I'm upset about not seeing.
Right.
So, I mean, in theory, you can still play the movie. You can still play the comedy of it. And I don't know what the scene is, but even when you're doing a movie with nudity, and it doesn't have to be cut out, it has to be cut out for network television anyway.
Yeah.
So there's always, you know, it's usually edited together for a variety of different reasons. But I'm sure if they needed that in there, more specifically, let me rephrase that, I'm sure if they contractually had her where she didn't have a choice and they had the nude shot, I'm sure that's in there. But I don't think they're getting her nude without her giving that consent at any point in time, which is a damn shame, because I don't think I am either.
So is it just a press trick to say the boyfriend denied it?
No, it's possible.
He's a scapegoat?
It's possible, and it's also quite possible that it was never true, and it's just a good rumor.
Yeah.
But until I know it's just a rumor, that guy took a couple of good nights away from me.
Yeah.
It's a damn shame. But everybody, I thank you very much for listening. If you are listening to this on a download, please do not call in because you're going to waste your time. But otherwise, hope to hear from you next week. Please go to the Weekly Wrap-Up Facebook page. And Jeremy, anything else I need to spit out before I forget?
Facebook page, iTunes.
Subscribe for free.
Twitter.
For free, you say. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
To the Weekly Wrap-Up. Or visit us over at skidrowstudios.com. Thank you very much. Have a great week. Jeremy, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Sorry I had to keep you awake for this whole hour.
All right. Thank you.
And we'll see you next week.